going on? Jermaine Johnson. Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaw11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by special guest today, you know, pretty much my brother at this point, with pretty much the same name, Will Parks, Jets safety, special teams ace. Will, how are we doing today?
I'm good, brother. How about you, Mr. William?
I know it's an exciting time. You know, obviously the bye week, you know, kind of splitting the season in half, which is kind of rare. I feel like the Jets have gotten the bye week so early in the season. It's nice to be able to not only get to the bye, but get to the bye in the thick of the playoff picture through 9 weeks. Kind of overall, what's the feeling from, you know, yourself in the locker room, you know, through half the season so far?
Oh, man. I ain't gonna lie, bro. It's been like super, I want to say like a fruitful for everything that's been going on in the last 9 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we went so hard, bro. This camp, we went so hard each and every day, even before that OTAs. And you could kind of just sense the urgency, yet along with the charisma and the energy and the willingness to get to where we are right now in the season. You know what I'm saying? So, I firsthand seen, or up until this point, seen all the hard work that we've been putting in, and for us to be where we are now in this great position and stuff like that, it just speaks dividends to the amount of hard work and to all the guys that's buying into what we're trying to establish here, and not just as a group but as individuals as well. You know what I'm saying? What you want each and every day from a New York Jet, especially the new New York Jets, that we should say. When they walk into that building now, you know what I'm saying? So it's been amazing, man. I'm eager and I'm excited to continue to put in the work and see where else we can go on this back half stretch, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and it's been a fun ride, I think, for fans. It's just so many different, you know, same old Jets, which, you know, every Jets fan hates. A lot of those stereotypes, I feel like, you know, every time people are kind of expecting that letdown, or oh, see, there was one negative thing happened. You guys have been so resilient, I feel like, throughout the year. I was talking to Justin Hardy about this yesterday, about how just you guys have kind of just blocked out all the noise. And it's just been about, you know, the guys in that locker room, which has been something that's, you know, huge. And, you know, obviously, you know, you guys are, you know, both, you've been a veteran in this league, obviously, you know, been with Denver, Philly, you know, Miami, and obviously now the Jets. And how can you usually tell pretty early on about, you know, kind of what the culture and the locker room, the vibe a team's going to have, you know, in camp and stuff like that? Or is it take a few weeks to see, you know, obviously talent's, you know, one thing, but just that vibe and culture, is that something you've been able to kind of tell if, you know, you're one of the few guys that's actually been in the league for more than 2 or 3 years at this point?
Man, that's a good ass question, bro. Like, I don't think I ever got asked that. That's a good question, because now you got me thinking about, I think so. To your question, I think, you know, you do got a sense of what the culture is when you enter a locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did 4 years at Denver. I played a key role on defense there, not just on defense, but in the community. I go to Philly. I go home before Dale come home, and I did what I could here, and obviously it didn't work out. But, you know, we ended on good terms, and I went back to Denver. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say I did 5 years in Denver. And then obviously, you know, with everything, I just want to say last year was kind of just my toughest year. And I was young, so I've never been through all that stuff before. You know, practice squad, like, I don't even know what the fuck practice squad, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, you know, just you get humbled quick. And I think the biggest thing, or where it starts at, is just, you know, where you are, you know, like, you know, and that's in the locker room. You know, you around those guys each and every day, and those guys or those group of people can basically determine, you know, how your career is going to end up. You know, you might, because you got different entities that you have to adapt to each and every day. This guy might like this, but this guy might like that, but this guy might like this in it, but he like this. You know what I'm saying? So, just to, you know, be in that headspace, you know, I think you can kind of get a sense for where the direction that the program is going in, you know. So I sensed that here. That's what made me come back. They asked me, like, yo, they asked me. I never asked, you know, asked, like, why are y'all asking me if I want to come back? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that, obviously that's what I did when I first got here last year and stuff like that. But I was like, hell yeah. Like, count me in, bro. Like, I want to be here. First of all, y'all gave me an opportunity last year that nobody else did. Somebody else did, but it wasn't what y'all gave me. I walked into a starting job. You know what I'm saying? That's what I did in my career. I got over 5,200 snaps of football, not counting this year. 5,200, bro. You feel what I'm saying? So that's just, you know, that's what it is, bro. So I'm excited, bro. I'm excited for the guys that's in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Just to have this energy, you know what I'm saying? Just I can go on and on and on about that part.
Yeah. No, I think you see a lot of, sometimes it's not even about the positive energy. It's about kind of eliminating that, the oh, poor me, or the excuse making, which I think we've seen a lot the last, you know, decade or so. Something goes wrong. Oh, you know, same stuff. And even like, I'd look at the Buffalo Bills game where Skycam breaks, you guys are driving, momentum's totally on your side. You're playing the quote unquote best team in the AFCs, best team in the NFL, you know, a lot of people in their minds. Skycam breaks, and three plays later, Zach strip sack. Here we go again. Like, that's what a lot of people would say, you know, same thing. And then, you know, two plays later, sack, interception, ball is right back. And that to me is something that, you know, that's the difference. And, you know, New England game, you know, obviously probably the most brutal loss of the season, just because I feel like you guys were the better team, but you get a chance to go out in Buffalo and you win. And then now you get a bye week and get a chance to go beat them again. I want to ask you a little bit about your role, because, you know, you've played, obviously traditionally played safety, you know, safety, special teams, all that stuff. And then the last couple of weeks, probably since the Miami game, you played a little bit more of in that nickel, kind of nickel backer role. What's that kind of transition been like? Is that something you had done previously, or is it something that took a little bit of time to get used to, and now you're kind of thriving in that role?
Hey, bro. Hey, you pay attention, bro. Coach, that's why when you reached out to me about this, bro, I was eager to do it. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to ask questions. I didn't have to call my PR people, none of that, because I've got a sense. I like to think that I got a sense for people, bro. And you know what you be talking about. You got an idea for it. If you don't know, you always available. You know what I'm saying, bro? So that's
I appreciate like, it. I try.
I just had a few hours while we was here, bro. But, oh, man, I've actually, when I was in school at Arizona, I got drafted to play safety, but obviously my tape was a Swiss Army knife when I was labeled in Denver. I was everywhere, bro. Like, I would start a game at safety, but on third downs, I would go play man coverage in the slot. And then on certain downs, I would play dime backer. And, I guess that role kind of translated when I got to the NFL, bro. And also another thing was like, the best ability is availability. So why not put my brain in so many different areas throughout my defense or my special, whatever I'm doing, whatever my role is, to put myself in the best position to touch the field? It's a business league. Guys are getting replaced every day. So I'm in Denver. We never drafted a safety in 4 to 5 years I was there. Never. They didn't draft a safety until last year or the year before that. You know what I'm saying? So that's me and Justin Simmons at the time. But, you know, it's you know, being available to do things. So when guys go down, I go, hey, and the guys will tell you, we'll be in the meeting room, and hey, we told coach put you at the nickel. All right, bet. Say no more. I'm gonna flip my head around. I'm gonna take the safety stuff out and go to nickel. Oh no, I can't take the safety stuff out, because if something go down back there, I gotta be ready to go in for safety. But I still gotta know with my nickel, or you know, my big nickel, that's my package, big nickel reps are, because my whole transition has to change. So, but that's how I grew up, bro. That's how I was able. That's why I'm able to, you know, do that stuff, do so many different things at one time. That's how I grew up, bro. I grew up in, you know, treacherous Philadelphia, you know, amazing city, amazing, 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 amazing city. But growing up, how I grew up and where I grew up at, you know, it's ain't nothing amazing about it. You know what I'm saying? So just to put myself in a position to always be available to do something better, I feel like it translated into football. So being able to play nickel, dime, free safety, strong safety, and versus the Cleveland Browns in 2018, I lined up that corner and played a couple corner reps. So, you know, it's just it what it is. But if you go look at my Denver tape, you're like, we can't find this dude, but I'm on a tackle, or I'm on a pick, or I'm on a, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, no, it's something that I think you know, a lot of people kind of, it gets like, it's almost the game manager title as a quarterback, or that Swiss Army knife is, you know, that linebacker safety role gets sometimes this bad stigma of like, oh, you know, Jamal Adams got this for a while. And I know Jets fans don't like Jamal Adams anymore, and I get it. And that's a whole nother story. We're not going to go down that road, but you know, where he thrived the most was in that kind of big nickel where he's in the box, he's blitzing, doing these different things. And if you have other guys around you that can play those other roles, it kind of makes that position can thrive. It's, you know, that big nickel or whatever. It only gets exposed if you don't have safeties behind you that can also cover, because then people are like, why is Gronk on Jamal Adams? Well, it's because that there's nobody else to cover him. So I wanted to ask you about a couple of guys that you play alongside. I'm going to ask you about Sauce, and, you know, I know everyone just all anyone wants to talk about, but there was a play on Sunday that to me was one of the more impressive plays. Was I tweeted it out. You saw the play from jump. I literally watched you literally signal like it's coming right. They're literally running power to your left side. And to watch, you know, one thing I've seen from Sauce is, you know, people want to get on about tackling. Obviously, as a rookie, as a corner, it's not always the first thing you think of. And to watch you kind of took on a, I think you either took on a tackle or a fullback, and Sauce, and you guys were able to make a play there. Is that something that's impressed you about him, is his willingness to tackle, or is it just his game in general that you put him in 2, 3, 4, whatever, he's a man, and he the confidence, like he gets burned on the first play, even though that was a good play call by the Bills, because they've read that Diggs runs that route all the time. Sauce sat on it, but later in the game they ran the same play, and both him and DJ Reed were able to kind of make a play there and not fall for it. So what's kind of your impression of Sauce coming in? Because I was impressed with him in camp right away. I just, like, the amount of coaching, you can tell right away. Top five pick, sometimes guys walk in, I'm better than this shit. Like, I don't need to get coached. I played in the SEC. Like, is it because he's from a smaller school, or is it just who he is as a football player?
No, that's who he is as a person. Like, bro, like, he'll tell you, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to get him on your cast one day, bro.
Yeah, bring him on. It'd be nice.
That dude retains information like no other. Like, I'm a retain information guy, and I retain a lot of information, you know what I'm saying? And to be that young and retain information, to be that young and young in the league, you know, to be that young in the league, to retain information, to apply it to the field, to already know a couple of things, because he did already know a couple of things when he came in. And Tony Oden, who was his coach, the corners coach, you know,
he needs to get more love, by the way, whether it's in Miami, other places. He's developed a lot of damn good corners. Xavier Howard in Miami.
Exactly. That was my next, like, Tony Oden. If people don't know, Tony Oden, Xavier Howard, Jason Verrett. Shit, who else he had? Shit.
He had somebody else too that's a big name, and I don't know why I can't think of it. Let me see if I can find it.
It's like 4 or 5 people. Yeah, try to find that. And Sauce, come on, bro. Like, it's I don't know what it is this year, bro. And I watch film all damn day, but I've been calling everything that's been going out in our games out like crazy. It's one play when he caught the interception. Remember, he just said he gave up the D pass, gave it a D ball. And I'm like, bro, you know what's a good thing about football? He's like, what? I said, within a game, if you do something bad, you can end that by doing something real good. I said, now watch when you get a pick in the fourth quarter, you're going to forget about all that. It's third quarter, though.
That was probably one of the bigger plays of the game. And it was Darius Slay was the other one, and he had Sherman in San Francisco as well. I'm sure Sherman towards the end of the year, but he had Darius Slay as well. I wanted to ask you about C.J. Mosley in this aspect, because he's a guy that big price tag coming over from Baltimore, has the best three quarters I've ever seen a linebacker play against the Bills, and then gets hurt. Opts out for the COVID year. Last year, you know, obviously the team overall struggled. CJ had a nice year, but it was first year back playing football. I don't think people realize how hard that is. He's like into his 30s after being, you know, the last time he played football, he's, you know, late 20s. There's a different feeling. He's a guy that this scheme, I think, puts a lot of pressure on those 2 or 3 inside linebackers, you know, regardless of, you know, whether it's him or Quincy or Quan. How good is CJ? Because I don't think some fan, it's hard to appreciate a linebacker outside of just like, oh, how many tackles did he have? Like, how good is he either as a teammate or just as a football player? Because I think he's every bit worth, you know, what he's, when he's been being paid.
Great human being, phenomenal football player. astounding leader.
Yeah, he's
I call him Big Capo, short for Captain, Big Captain, Big Capo, because if not, and I've been around some good linebackers, he's the best linebacker I ever played with. Bottom, best linebacker I ever played with. And I knew he was the best linebacker I ever played with. Remember the Jacksonville game, my first game ever here?
Yeah, he had a hell of a game that game.
I got here on Tuesday. I started on Wednesday. Sunday came. CJ looked me in my eye. He said, "I know exactly who you is, bro. Show them people why he was playing with you."
Who the hell is this dude?
I know who he is. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this dude just fired me up and he don't even know it. I'm crying and shit, bro. And he said, you know, he said, "I knew you was a soldier when you had my face mask taped up on some Sean Teller, you know, type stuff."
Yeah, and, of course.
You know, shout out to him. No, rest in peace. But I was just ready to go, bro, for that man. I'm like, shit, I got somebody who I can play for right now, and it's him. And I just got the team. I'm just trying to play the, you know, obviously, you know, let them know it's like, I ain't no slouch. Like, y'all know what's going on. It is what it is, you know, whatever. But, like, that dude, he got me right. One of the reasons why I go in the building every day, not just blowing smoke up him or just because you brought his name up, none of that. Like, I talk to this man every day. About football, we laugh all the time and stuff like that. But when it's time to go to war, bro, like, I'm taking him to wherever. If we all had to go to war right now, I got 10 people I'm taking. He in that 10.
He's a guy that's been impressive. And I think something that I thought, you know, I know it was a big kind of emphasis in the offseason, kind of getting CJ to be more vocal, be a more vocal guy. I know not that he wasn't vocal before, but almost like, out in front of the media as well, be that vocal guy that can be kind of like, he's all about football, which I think is a lot of the guys on the team. You know, you look at, you know, there's a lot of guys that just come to work. And I want to ask you about a couple offensive guys. I know you're obviously playing defense, but
I know everybody because I have to.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to start with Zach. We'll knock the quarterback one out. I think playing quarterback in New York, playing quarterback in the NFL as hard as it is, and Zach's gone through ups and downs. You know, the New England game's a big down. He's got other games where, you know, he's part of a huge reason why you guys are able to win. What's kind of the vibe around Zach? Because he's somebody that, like, you know, all you really hear from him is when he's talking to the, you know, press conference of asking about his stats. So that doesn't really do anything for me. You know, obviously it's about his play on the field, but what's kind of the vibe around him? Because I don't know. It's hard to tell if Zach's really outspoken or he's kind of more reserved and just like, I don't know, there's more of the outspoken guys in the offensive line.
I call him Zachariah. Zachariah, I can't wait till people see that he really that dude. I just can't wait. Because, you know, you know your shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? But for some people, I just can't stand, you know, what they say about certain people. Zach has never lost. I think he's learned. And the way that he's handling what people say good about him, bad about him, or indifferent, because I see it all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I do the same person when he come in the building every day. And over time, and as his career prolongs, he's going to get better and better and better and better. And everybody's going to try to be on the Zach Wilson bandwagon. I pray this dude, you know, so whether I'm here with him or not, I pray he have a lot of success because he a young kid who doesn't want to let somebody down. You could tell. You know, he might not give you everything that you want, but as far as what we want, he going in that game, like, all right, I got to do this, this, and that. I do these three, I'm cool.
Yeah,
like we got you, little bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's we got you, bro. We got you. Don't worry about it. We're gonna give you that ball back too. I tell Michael Floyd that before every game. Pay attention to the middle of the I'm gonna give you that ball back for you and your young quarterback. I'm giving you the ball back. Whether it's not me, it's somebody else, but that's my mentality.
Yeah, no, it's Zach's interesting because you won't hear a lot, and then all of a sudden they'll get a quote after the game when it's like him telling everyone to sack the fuck up or something like that.
Right. Just imagine if those quotes were said more, because he said all the time in the locker room, just funny stuff, bro. Like, just stuff like, whether he's kidding or not, just like, all right, Zach. All right, go. You funny. Like,
it's good. It's always one of my best friends is our quarterback in college, and it's the same thing. He'll say something, you're like, wait, what? What'd you just say?
You know, like, we 6-3, and we're gonna win so many more games. If not, I ain't gonna say nothing. You're not gonna win if you don't got a quarterback in this league.
No, we can only take you so far. Yeah.
So
you'll start to get some defenses too. I think, you know, you come back off the injury, going to, I don't know the last time a Jets quarterback, you know, whether it's him or not, and he's the sole reason, you're going to Pittsburgh, it's no joke to play in Pittsburgh. You're going to Lambeau, joke to play there, get wins over Buffalo, there's a lot of things there where I'm not telling you to say this, but like, you're going to defenses like Detroit and Chicago and Jacksonville coming up that are defenses that are struggling in a big way. And there's the chance to put up the stats, but if you're getting the wins now, that's what matters. I want to ask you about Garrett Wilson, because he's somebody that I watched. Yeah, exactly. I watched Garrett Wilson in camp. I think I tweeted this out. He had a drop. He was wide open, cooked whoever who was on him. It was a splice route whatever. And he's in the slot, wide open, drops it. And like, he did everything right, looked at it, and he wasn't like hot dogging or anything. You, Sauce, and two or three other people were like, no, bro, like, you're fine. Relax. He was going through a little bit of a rut during camp. There were some drops and things. When he gets the ball, I feel like the entire stadium kind of gets like, there's just like a buzz about it, which happened with Breece as well. But there's this energy that kind of happens with, with Gary once he touches the ball, and, you know, whether he's juking out literally nobody, but it's fine. But how good can he be? And are you impressed with how kind of mature he came into the league, where I feel like there was nothing too big for him, you know, right away? A receiver is usually a harder position to kind of adjust right away. And it doesn't feel like it took any time. I mean, week two, he's got 8 for, 108 and 2 touchdowns.
Bro, that dude, he came in ready. He came in ready. It reminded me of me when I came in. Like, the attention to detail, the attention to focus, the attention to what to get better, the respect that he had for people that he didn't know. Off the rip, you know what I'm saying? The way he attacks the day, every route is the same every time. Coach showed it in the team meeting room, and I'm glad he did, because you get to see young guys who want to be here, who want to help this team win. He's one of them. That's little bro. I should text him a couple of days. We got a little connection me and him got going on. So I'm excited for where he's going to go, but I'm so happy for the way that he's approached his first NFL 9 games. On time, working. So it's not no surprise when he get out on the field and go 8 for 108 or 102, whatever he had. You know what I'm saying? I remember I looked at somebody, I said, damn, little bro, we got 7 catches. They can't touch him, bro. He like a wet piece of napkin that got legs. You know what I'm saying? It's just so amazing to see, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, he's a guy that's, I think everyone, most people like coming out of the draft, and it was, you see there's certain schools and things like that where certain positions, guys that receivers at Ohio State, Brian Hartline's one of the best coaches in the country, position coaches in the country. And you look at him, Olave, and, you'll see it, Marvin Harrison and, JJ coming out this year is just, there's guy or next year, I guess, whatever, but these guys come in ready. I wanted to ask you, about two coaches in specific, because I'm going to relate this back to two of your, bigger plays of the year. I'm going to start with Sala. He's a guy that it's all, publicly, it's a lot of rah-rah. He protects you guys always. The receipts comment was always meant to protect you guys. It had nothing to do with, you know, maybe it has something to do with the media and whatever. It wasn't really passive aggressive. I don't know what people got, like, fans got upset about it at the time. I was like, bro, it's all, he's talking to the locker room. Like, I got you guys, like, block out the noise. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about him just because comes over from San Francisco. It's all you see is, you know, big jacked up dude that's screaming on the sidelines, jumping in a pot. Like, that part's great. And then last year it felt like much more reserved, was kind of learning on the job. And this year you kind of see that again. Is it just because you guys are winning, or is it, it's like he's kind of confident in his role now. You guys are confident in what you're doing, and it's kind of blended together where he can get emotional and get fired up with you guys because you guys are all bought in with him. I mean, obviously you can celebrate more when you're winning than when, no, than when you're losing.
I'm trying to give you a good, educated, and thoughtful answer. Because I was only here 3 games.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were only here towards the end of the year, and you guys played well.
All last year, but I said, no, I was here all last year, y'all would have knew, believe me. You know, bro, it's the NFL for anybody. You know, yeah. Different levels of pressure for each individual, whether it's a janitor all the way up to the damn owner. You know, obviously they don't worry about nothing.
Yeah.
Janitor really don't worry about nothing either. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of solidify, but I think it's, you know, just the fact that it's NFL, you know, things change. But once you find your groove back, or I should say, once you develop how to weather the storm that you specifically are in, it could be a good or a bad storm, then, you know, you can then find your peace and your mojo. You still have to find it. It's like, you, like, say if you was going to get a new job, say you'd become a trucker. You're not going to be comfortable. You're going to feel good because you got a new job, but you're not going to be super, super comfortable making that transition. There's, it's changed now. You got 18 wheels instead of 6. They asked me to go play receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you try to fit. You figure it out, but it's gonna take time.
It's like a new team. Like, say I go to a new team, yeah, I feel good and I'm straight, but I'm around like, man, I gotta meet these new people. That's my position. But, you know, as far as head coach, I don't really know what goes on through a head coach's head. But I will say, for this man, like you said it already, bro. You're talking about a players coach and going to war for his players and especially against the media and stuff like that, bro. I've been around some good coaches, bro. Like, he definitely up there with a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? Like, anything you want to coach, he has all the tangibles, all the readiness, you know what I'm saying? But I think the number one thing that he possesses, and it's a great virtue, it speaks to him not only as a football coach, but as a man, because I know it's something Adam, I know little Mikey, you know what I'm saying? He got beautiful children, nice family. Bro, he even when he mad, he never showed.
Yeah, he's just able to be like, talk to you guys like adults. I feel like that's something that.
But in general, like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm like, damn, there's no way this dude don't we have a bad practice, like, for real? Like, no, he knows. But I think he treats it differently than most guys. And his approach has carried over to this year. And to be honest, bro, he know what he did. He told us what he wanted. I want this, and that. All right, we're going to give you this, and that. He's like, if I get this, and that, not being tit for tat, but I'm going to give y'all this, and that. And we like, yeah. All right, bet. But, and that's how you... That's how you start to build that coach, that winning atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the good thing about it, bro, we are so hungry. Before we left our team meeting Monday, he kept reiterating the guys, make sure y'all work out. I'm checking in with people. I'm checking in. Make sure y'all work out. This is not a break. This is a breather. This is not a break. This is a breather. This is not a break. This is a breather. So when the leader is saying that, when the leader is reiterating those kind of messages and stuff like that, it starts to hit guys. Shit, it hit me. I just worked out this morning and yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I worked out every bye week. You ain't got to tell me what a person do nothing. But just for the fact that I was like, man, not only do I have to do this for myself, I have to do this for this guy. He feed my family and I feed his. That's the message that's in the building right now, especially with the defensive side of the ball. we help each other feed each other families.
Yeah, the more success you guys have, the more money you're going to get paid down the line.
That's just, you know what I'm saying? So the guys have been doing a tremendous job, bro. Not blowing smoke up him again. I'm not making none of this up. This is authentic. It's just, you know, I'm just excited to be a part and feel valued and feel, you know, like, you know, the last line. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. No, it's what you want. You always remember those coaches that kind of, you know, not physically take a bullet for them. We're not going to go that far, but like, it's like that, like you feel like they have your back and you have theirs. I wanted to ask you about, you know, two plays, obviously. I mean, I would say they're probably the highlight of the season for yourself so far, the Cleveland onside kick. And then obviously the touchdown against Green Bay. Which one kind of meant more to you? Because you could kind of make the argument like the Cleveland one got you guys the ball back and you guys needed that win to kind of jumpstart the season in a sense. But the Green Bay one was like, oh man, like we're about to blow the Packers out in Lambeau. Which one kind of was either more satisfying or they both just kind of felt, you know, they both felt good in their own right.
Nah, they both felt good, bro. And the crazy thing is like, it feels so good. Like playing, like moving around on teams too. Like we got a good coaching boy here, bro. Like not to forget about the, but like I've never wanted to play special teams more until I met this dude. I wasn't really playing teams like that. I would run down on kickoff and that would be it. I would go to defense and stuff like that. So like just to make that transition to be a core guy or three out of four phases as well as defensive snaps and stuff like that. Bro, it makes me want to do what I did on teams this year so far. And I got a lot of work to do, especially with kickoff return. I'm sucking on that part right now. I got to get so much better than that, bro. But they both felt good. But I think that my first career touchdown, bro, in Lambeau at that specific part of the game, kudos to Mike Clemens, you know, just execute everybody, because if you don't go here, this guy won't go here. You know what I'm saying? So everybody played a part in that, bro. So, but just that in that specific time, with what I was going through as far as just in general, I think that was probably the most prolific highlight of the season thus far, because I'm going to have like three or four more plays to help us win.
Yeah, so, no, yeah. It's sometimes there's those momentum shifting plays. And I want to get into kind of some fun stuff. First, I wanted to kind of ask you about, you know, we kind of talked about Sauce and DJ Reed and the confidence of you guys as a locker room. I'm not going to ask you for, you know, bulletin board material and stuff like that, but I felt like, you know, you listen to all your guys' quotes after the Bills game. Everyone just wants to talk about the Patriots game coming up. Like it was instantly, nah, we're ready. We want that game back. How it felt like I know Salas said it felt like he kind of mentioned like, you know, usually it's wipe it, game over, you know, after Monday, you know, you get your Monday off and then it's like back in the, he said it kind of stuck with you guys a little bit longer. And it's a game where got into like Wednesday where it was like, damn, we lost that game. Like they didn't beat us. We lost. How fired up is that locker room coming in? All right, we got a bye week, but like you mentioned it, you know, make sure you're working out all that stuff. Cause we got a team that we have to beat, you know, in whatever, you know, 8 or 9 days here.
Yeah, it is important. I think that's very important. That's cliche. I'm not gonna say important, cliche ass answer. I would say that's it's valuable. You know, that message is valuable. Patriots, good team, great team, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I think we did let that one slip away. You know what I mean? And I don't want to make it bigger than what it is. We just got to go in there and handle business. We know what we got to do. We're not going to talk about them beating us. They beat us. It is what it is. They beat us. Y'all got us on that one. I got us again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we'll holler at y'all after the results. But until then, you know what I'm saying? And the fact of the matter is, it's an end division rival. The history behind it, aside of, you know, the football, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we can't make this bigger than what it is, you know what I'm saying? It's just one chop, one step at a time. They in the way of what we trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all in the way. So we got to handle our business and move y'all out the way.
Yeah, that's the next step, towards the playoffs. I want to get in a couple of fun ones, here before, obviously, we kind of wrap. I'm going to ask you some of the questions I asked Justin Hardy yesterday because I'm curious if you're going to have the same answer. I asked him who the fastest guy on the team was. He said that him and Brandon Echols were the fastest dudes on the team. Is there anyone else that gets in the mix there? Because Elijah and Garrett were 4-3 guys. Trying to think if anybody else was that fast. Sauce was 4-4.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, it's funny. Brandon's built so weird for an outside corner with like super, super long arms, but he's like shorter in like in a zone corner. I don't know. He ran 4-3s too. I asked him if Salah was in a strength contest with you guys, like how well is he doing? Because I feel like he's probably smoking a few tight ends. Maybe he's getting a few running backs, a few DBs, at least, even though he's getting up there in the 40s.
Yeah, he'll be able to hang with us. I think so. He'll be in the gym now, you know what I'm saying? And he's strong as a ox. So he and he got a ball here, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, you can't beat that.
Can't beat that, bro. You know what I mean?
I asked him, funniest dudes on the team, Michael Clemens. Seems to, you know, yourself, Michael Clemens pops up. Michael Clemens is funnier, I think, more because he just, when you guys get him to stop being serious at times, it is honestly hysterical. When they asked him about Taylor Swift, his reaction was just like, I'm not answering this question.
Bro, you have no idea how funny this dude Mike Clemens is. Mike Dan Clemens, that's his name. And same Friday, and you seen the hustle dude. That's the role he played for his rookie show. Jesus Christ. Undeniable, bro. Like, we couldn't stop laughing. I would say Mike Carter, the running back. I would say Quan Alexander. I'm not talking about myself. They all probably going to say me.
Quan, Michael Carter, yourself.
Yeah, but if we're talking about like who? Quan, Michael Carter, myself, my I'm gonna give you one more person. That's fine.
I'm trying to think. I feel like, you know, maybe we'll throw I'm trying to think who else is like a. I feel like Quinn is pretty funny. Quinn makes me laugh. Just like his laugh is so cute. Big kid. He's like a big kid. He's obviously had a great start to the year. I asked him who's the hardest hitter on the team. He went with Quan. Probably Quan, CJ, or Quincy, I feel like is the guys that have had the biggest hits this year.
That's not three, but I'm right after that. So
yeah. Yeah, you and Jordan would be my next two. Jordan's gotta wrap up.
Sometimes. Jay White, y'all tripping. Jay White coming to thump your shit. Oh man, he coming.
we'll just kind of look forward to, obviously you kind of mentioned it right now, every game there, so you guys are fired up and excited, and we'll wrap with this. What's the excitement level to get back in the building, in a sense? Obviously it's great to, you know, for you guys to get a little bit of a break, get family time, you know, get away from the building for a few days, but how excited is this team, and like your expectations in terms of, you guys have a lot of goals, and I mean, you don't have to, you know, give them and stuff like that, but 8 weeks left in a playoff spot right now, competing for the division, trying to go, you know, is all that stuff on the table for you guys? And it's just, or is it just 1 week at a time? We can't worry about playoffs, trying to go win a title. It's just kind of go beat New England and go from there.
I didn't rely, but like some the games we've been winning, we don't even be knowing what the score is until like we get in the building the next day. Like I've been talking to TJ, he's in the shower and he's like, yo, bro. I was like, yo, what was the score again? And he was like, I don't even know. That was a Miami game. And then the next game, Green Bay, and we just saying like, we like, it's always me though, I don't know why. And I was in the locker room and I was like, yo, how much we had again? It was like 27. I was like, dang, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we don't even be knowing, bro. Like, we see it, but like when we in the moment and stuff like that, we don't know or we don't think about it until we get asked a question like just now. So I think that's the good, best thing about it, bro. You just got a bunch of, you know, gangsters who love football, bro, and don't care about, you know, what if we went into losing or drawing. We just care about getting better and making sure we let people know we ain't the same in general. Like, you got a bunch of misfits on one team, you know what I'm saying? You got a bunch of guys who, you know, been cut here or moved here, or, and that's great football players and great human beings that bring so many tangibles to a football team. That's all on one team now. You know, even the guys that come on board late, you know, they understand what we've been doing since April 18th, 2022. You know, nothing has been the same, not nothing, like nothing. You know what I'm saying? So that's why sometimes on Twitter, and I be saying stuff, that's crazy, because I haven't been on Twitter until like I got on a jet super heavy, because I understand the engagement that, you know, people want and need. You know, they've been cheering when things were bad, you know what I'm saying? So why not give them some love at the same time while they're cheering? You know what I'm saying? So it's a step, and not just the right direction. It's a step in just like the right atmosphere in general. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole damn, everything we breathing, walking, doing, eating, and thinking about is in regards to the next man that's in that building next to you going to work. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to the back half, bro, and because I know what we about to do. I swear I do. I know what we about to do. And when we hop back on your podcast, I'm like, hey, Will.
Told you.
Remember I told you what we about to do?
And we did it. Nah, it's something that, you know, and we wrap with this, obviously. There's, like I said, there's been things throughout the entire year where a team without a good locker room or a team that's not really all bought in, you know, the Elijah stuff happens. That could break teams. But instead, you guys go out, you beat Denver.
We rallied around that guy because we knew what he meant. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, never think. I didn't even know what was going on until the next day. I had a conversation with Elijah, I guess, the night of. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you go with the outside world. The outside world is trying to make this guy seem like he's a bad guy. No, he's not a bad guy. Because that was the same guy y'all were just cheering for. He's not a bad guy. He wants to help the team win. So if he wants to help the team win, what kind of guy is that? That's a guy who wants to make your team, who you cheer for, win. And if he feel like he ain't getting enough, give him. If he ain't doing nothing with the pill, that's different. Hey, he might give you the ball, bro. You ain't doing nothing with it. We got to spread this thing. We trying to win. You know what I'm saying? But it's his attitude. He wants more. Who wouldn't want more?
More wants more.
More wants more.
Yeah, no. And his role kind of moving to the slot more should help him as well. It's kind of where he ate a majority of the time in college. He should be able to get some touches. Garrett's development helped too.
What? How many games left? How many games left this
season? You got eight left. Eight regular season left.
Oh, and Elijah's number eight, and I guarantee you he come and make a play for us in eight of the last eight games one time.
I think I said it. You guys are gonna need everybody. It's not a one guy's got to eat. Everyone's got to, especially offensively. Like, there's so much untapped. I feel like untapped talent. I don't want to say it that way, but there's so many guys that can even play better than they are right now. And on defense, it's like just keep doing what we're doing.
Mike is one of the best OCs I've ever been around, and I guarantee you each and every guy is going to be happy as hell when they look up at the end of the year and see the results that they actually had. He's doing a phenomenal job with each and every single last one of those guys. You're dealing with so many different personalities. You go from Elijah Moore to Mike Carter. You go from Elijah Vera Tucker to George Fink. You go from Zach Wilson to Chris Trevor. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's doing a phenomenal job. DC, amazing job. Brick, one of the best DCs I've been around. You know what I'm saying? Boyer, number one special team coach I've been around. You know what I'm saying? So it's the puzzles is here, bro. The pieces is here, bro. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta, it's our job to put it on tape.
Yeah, put it on tape. Obviously appreciate, you know, you hopping on. We obviously want to wish you, you know, good luck the rest of the year. And you know, next time you come on, we'll be able to chop it up about you know, kind of, you know, someone we talked about and see it come true.
Absolutely. We'll appreciate you, bro. You're doing your thing, man.
I appreciate it, man. I'm trying.
Yes, sir, bro.